KNW, KN4VWA.
KN4VWA, W4DJW.
Better than to try to plan something. I'm on my way down to Malden to do a little quick service call, and then I've got to get back up to the house, or up to the wire man, and pick up a spool of wire that I ordered. I was going to do that this morning, and just as soon as I get that picked up, I'm going to try to come back to the house and pick up all my airplanes, but I have to be at my daughter's new house. They're doing a re-inspection. That shouldn't take but about 30 minutes, and that starts at 2 o'clock. So I'm hoping I'm going to be at the field by 3. If everything works out the way it's supposed to, I should make it.
Okay, well, that's about the same time everybody else is going to be there. So if you're a little late, that doesn't really matter. We'll hold you a spot in the sky. How's that?
Counting on that black hole you were going to generate by going around in circles with that dolphin.
It gets too dizzy. That's dizzying.
Yeah, I hear you. But no, like I said, if everything goes according to Hoyle, I should be there by about 3 o'clock. But if I'm not, I should be there very shortly thereafter. And I got a bunch of my batteries charging right now. So, anyhow, fun in the neighborhood. So what are you up to this morning, that floor?
Yeah, I've already done one iteration on the floor. It was soaked and was drying, completely dried, and is now sanded and cleaned and is soaking again, so that's on its way. It's looking better, too. It just takes a few days with some oleic acid or something like that, or hydrogen peroxide. You know, anyway, that's making good progress. But I did put that airspeed indicator. So I got the GPS's working on the flight controller yesterday. Day before yesterday, and I got the airspeed sensor put on it yesterday. And it said to test it, blow in the pitot tube and make sure you see your airspeed indicator rise. I was doing that, and I wasn't seeing anything. You know, a few tenths of a percent of airspeed, really, really low. And so I'm thinking it's not working at all. And then I went back and looked over the documentation. It said you got to tell it that it's that CAN bus, that controller automation bus, the protocol that is used on cars and trucks. My car has it. They established that communication methodology a long time ago to save copper and to build in redundancy in cars, and it worked. And now they're using it in UAVs. So it wasn't working. I had to go switch the airspeed sensor type to that protocol because it's going through the GPS that has that protocol to get to the I2C protocol. Anyway, when I switched that over this morning, I blew in that pitot tube. It went up to 127 miles an hour, so I guess it's working.
That up is a high fastball, son. I got to knock it out of the park. Everybody knew you were a blowhard. I couldn't pass that up, and you know that. Oh, hey, it's all in the ones and zeros. So, hey, the way it's going, I'm kind of suspecting that you're going to have a maiden on that thing probably within the next, I'm thinking before Christmas.
I hope so. I still have the flow sensor I've got to figure out. Once I get all this figured out, then I got to mount it all inside the airplane. And I'm going to do it different this time. Instead of having just a bunch of wires running all, like a bird's nest inside there, I'm going to route the wires. I ordered some silicone 22, 24, and 20 gauge wires and connectors, the DuPont type connectors. That's what they use on these flight controllers. That's the individuals of the servo connectors. You got three connectors per servo connection. That's what they use. But some of them require transmit, receive, ready to send, RTS and CST. and power. So that's like six connections. So I ordered a bunch of DuPonts so I can use five connections where needed, because some of them, it's one-way communication, so you don't need the receiver. You just need the transmitter and of the UART serial connector. So I'm going to do some clean routing inside there so that I know what's going on. If you look under the top plate of the Disco, the Go Discover, the TBS Go Discover, it looks like a bird's nest. So it might take me a little longer than that to do it, so that with this control, I think it's a whole lot easier to diagnose problems when you've got clean routing of all, when you, cable control or cable management. When you do cable management, I think it's a whole lot easier to diagnose.
Exactly what you're talking about, because I used to have, on average, on some of the x-ray machines that were out during the 90s, there was approximately a mile and a half of wire used between the heavy power consumption items, like the step-up transformers that took that would have put out 125,000 volts at 300 milliamps, down to the circuit control level. And, I mean, some of the manufacturers would just grab them all, bundle them up, and tie wrap them up. And you talking about a nightmare to circuit chase through those things, it was a mess. And you could always tell the better quality manufacturers by the way they ran their wiring harnesses. Oh, and speaking of which, the Bloody Wonder is ready to fly, baby.
So that was it, what we thought it was yesterday, a bad servo?
This way. I put the new servo in after doing some more testing and pretty much verifying for myself that that's what it was. And I put the new servo in, and you know how you can hear just slight little servo occasionally, and you don't really see any movement? I'm still getting that, and if I put, I don't even feel it with my hand, but if I put my lip right at the edge of the aileron, I can feel just a slight little twitter. So I think I can live with that. But it's either that or go with some higher quality servos, but those definitely are not.
Yeah, well, if you do the math on those servos, they're about $3 a piece, so they're super cheap. So I think some people just live with the twitching when they get a bad one. But I don't know, that just bugs me. Like, same with you. And when you hear digital servos make noise anyway. If you remember me putting my Tiger stick down on the ground waiting for the GPS to collect coordinates, you could hear the aileron servos buzzing. They weren't moving the surfaces at all, but they were buzzing. So that's a properties of a digital servo. They've been doing that since digital servos first came out, so I think you're in good shape. I was wanting to get the white Bloody Wonder, the one that's got the monster claw marks in it. I was wanting to get that one changed over this morning too, but it's like, work on the hardwood floor, work on the new flight controller, work on the Bloody Wonder, get the batteries charged. At some point, you got to stop.
Sir, I know exactly what you mean. And I just tried to pull on to 380, or on to 85, and it looks like it is dead stopped. This is the damnedest thing I've ever seen. This place is a nightmare out here. I haven't seen it non-plugged up in about 2 weeks. It's unreal. So anyhow, I'm going to try to get back onto 14 without getting hit, and try to go to Malden back the hard way down 14, which looks like it's going to be a lot easier. Oh, we have so much fun, don't we?
Yeah, I had Waze running right here at my desk because it sent me a notification this morning. Waze is like the replacement for a radar detector. And I had it running because it has never sent me notifications. It sent me a notification, so I pulled it up to see what it was about. And they wanted to tell me about a Christmas parade and running in Rock Hill. That was kind of weird. I've never had that before. But anyway, I left it running, and I see exactly what you're talking about. There's cars on the side of the road over there. There's a lot of police cars there because there's accidents. And then there's a lot of construction. So there's accidents, stalled cars, police, and construction all going on in that area, so best to avoid it if you can.
Okay, and 4VWA, also, just in case anyone is listening, like Daniel or Shane, Vern Smith Parkway, Highway 80, between Highway 14 and Highway 29, Whithampton, there are two rear Polaroid units. They're running radar out there, and they're doing well today. They're stopping plenty of people. Well, guess what? I just came down 14 to try to get to Pelham Road at Batesville Road, and it's backed all the way up to the Sherwin-Williams. They've got it cut down to one lane. I don't know who does the logic behind some of this stuff that they're doing with the roads, but, you know, I guess I could get a job over there with a single-digit IQ.
Hey, if you were running Waze, you would have known that before you got there. You would have known that that's not an option before you got to that location.
Go ahead and download that, I tell you, but... Even at that, let's just say I'm highly disappointed in anything that's trying to run our maintenance systems on the roads or our construction or any of that. Oh, my God, now they got them completely stopped up here and there's nothing moving. Good Lord. I'd have been just about as well off on 85. At least it was moving at about 2 miles an hour.
What's that call, Dave? KG4QLR.
Hey, Ron, it's called Waze, Waze. And there's so many people using it. Every time, when they get stopped, the first thing they do is say report. And then it says, what do you want to report? And it says car accident or car on the side of the road or changing tire or police officer or ambulance or... You just, whatever you want to pick. And it's just, there's so many people out there that are running it. You can know what's going on long before you get there. It's like, even if a cop is like hiding with radar behind a sign and they pop out and squeeze the trigger and gotcha, you can know that 10 miles before you get to where that cop's doing that. So there's no way they can get you if you're running Waze. Waze.
Waze. Okay, I got it. Gary on, KG4QLR.
Good to hear you on the radio. Hadn't heard you in quite a while. You doing okay?
Good, yeah. I mainly hang out on 75, but I listen to 2 meters all day. Well, not all day. I work a lot, but, you know, it's on. Anytime the radios are on, the 2 meter, 440 is in a loop scan, D-Star and all that stuff. Listen on 30 Charlie, good bit. Just whatever comes up in the scan loop, you know.
Well, good. It's good to hear you on there. Download that app and run it. You won't be disappointed. You see people all around you. You can tell how many people are behind you running Waze and how many people are in front of you. And you can look at alternate routes and see if anybody stopped up over there or not. Know whether to take that path or not. Because like happened with Steve just now, sometimes you jump off on a different route and it's worse than the one you just got off. It's like jumping from the frying pan to the fire. Anyway, try it out. I think you'll like it. W4DJW.
Work and happens all the time, you know, 85, you'll get a backup here and then you go off and try to get around it somehow and, you know the story up around that area. Try to stay away from there, sometimes it's unavoidable. Anyhow, it's good to hear you, man. I'm enjoying the conversation. I'll let you guys continue. K24QLR.
All right, catch you later. Back to you, Steve. That's Ron, by the way. I don't know if you've met him before. It's been a while since he's been on the radio. And, Ron, that's Steve on the other end, KN4VWA. Go ahead, Steve.
How you doing, Ron? Hopefully you're having a better traffic day than I am. And, you know, there's only one cure for not being on the radio much. You got to get on there and hit that little button on the side of that mic and say, howdy.
T systems for this van, a little amp and... Most everything I do on here is sideband, FP8 during, you know, the contest, trying to see how far I can talk on 2 meter sideband, but I hadn't had that amp. about 2 or 3 weeks now. Might already use it. Heat it up a little bit.
88 mobile?
Negative, nah. I'm mobile now. Run a little 4100.
Okay. Alright. Yeah, I'm in a 2500 Ram diesel. And I talked to the ICOM guy. I've talked to U.S. several people. Because I've got a popping sound that comes from the injector coils. And even all the manufacturers I've talked to says, well, good luck. Say they can't get that out. It's a interference that you cannot run that engine and be able to run HF.
I run HF here, actually. You got a IQ5160 Big Cat Bat. It's a performer, you know. Got a little ALS500 in here, and I had to bond everything. I had to choke the antenna, choke the control line, and then bond all the parts of the body, the transmission, the, you know, everything, the muffler, and all parts of the body together to get the noise out and stuff. But now I don't even have to run a noise blanker. It used to be, it was terrible, so enough can't be said for bonding.
2 meter 40.
HF on HF. Yeah, it's a Silverado. It's a Silverado 1500.
Not diesel.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any way to get around that, but bonding can't hurt. I mean, that's how they say you get rid of the noise, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm in my diesel right now, and I don't have any issue on 2 meter or 440, but if the second that I go to HF, it's over.
Going down the road, you know, I'll be running HF, which we do a lot, to and from the job. My boss is ham, too, and we run mobile HF on 75 a lot. And, you know, you'll pass a truck, and they'll have power inverters in there and all kind of stuff that just tear you up when you go by them. And then the injectors and everything. I can hear everything going on in the cars around me, passenger cars and everything else. That's really only the only interference you have on the highway.
Well, I tell you what, wait till they start running internet across the power lines. Think we got interference now? Wait till they do that.
Places, I don't think they got it here yet, thank goodness.
Have you heard of that, Dave?
Yes, I have. And I did some in-depth study on it, and there's a way that they can do that without causing any noise to us whatsoever. Because the ham radio community, I read the ARRL article on that. And so a ham radio community was getting in an uproar about it. And they came up with a method. And there's a video out there that tells you how they're going to do it, how they're doing it. And we won't even know they're there. The original way that they planned to do it, you're absolutely right. That was a problem. That would never work for us. They would kill our bands, and the FCC wouldn't let them do it. Now they've got another way to do that, and we basically we won't even know they're there.
So I wonder how they're suppressing any interference. Oh, well, anyhow, technology marches on. I'm glad they can do it. Well, just think, maybe someday we'll be getting our internet from Duke Power.
I hope they're cheaper than Charter or Spectrum. Because I got a gigabit speed, and gigabit's nice. Once you have it, you can't go back to like 100 megs or 400 meg. But, they like their gigabit. I'll be glad when fiber optics gets here and it's no longer an issue. That, you know, speed is no longer a concern. And when Zuckerberg and Google and those others get the airplanes that are flying in the sky 24/7, and everybody gets internet for free, high-speed internet, and it doesn't cost us a penny, we'll look back on these days and say, remember those people that paid for the internet? That'll be us.
K4VWA. Yeah, well, Springs?
W4DJ, no, I haven't. Saber rattling's over what? Zuckerberg's airplanes that fly 24/7?
No, the Russians tested a missile killer, or not a missile killer, but a satellite killer missile the other day, and scattered debris around the path of the ISS, and the international community is all in an uproar over it. And now the Russians are rattling their sabers, saying, shut up, or we'll just knock them all down within 30 minutes, and you will have no GPS.
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath waiting on that to happen. China did that once before, and it made everybody, they blew up a satellite rather than, you know, trying to make sure they guided it to the ocean when it came down, because they knew it was going to come down, and it was heavy, and they didn't want it landing on somebody's house, so they just blew it up out there, and boy, that made everybody mad, because now there's space debris all over the place, and that would go right through a human that's outside working, you know, working on something, working on a space shuttle or something like that, if they get outside. I'd go through the walls of a space shuttle, right? Especially if they're not going in the same direction. But anyway, China did it. Now I guess Russia's done it. But if Russia started taking out GPS satellites, any of the different implementations, I think the whole world would pounce on them and shut them down in a heartbeat. I don't think that would last long. That'd be like the one-day war.
Think about it. But in the meantime, with them massing on the Ukraine border and saber rattling over the satellites and a couple other things that Putin's doing, it doesn't look too pretty out there.
You mean for flying this afternoon?
Geopolitical outlook.
But anyhow, that's just me being paranoid. Out there around,
like I said, about 3, I hope. Maybe before, because the house that is being inspected is within about 5 or 10 minutes of the field, so I'm hoping this guy's going to take a look, be done in about a half an hour, and come back out, give me a good report, and I'm just going to come zipping on over there and be there in about 20 minutes to 3, and beat you there.
That's possible, especially if I don't get off this radio right now and start putting another receiver in that other bloody wonder, the white one.
Well, hey, before you go, what is it you're doing to the floor? Are you refinishing it or replacing it?
So about 10 years ago, we had a pack of 3 dogs, 2 Yorkies and a Pomeranian. And the Pomeranian liked to pee on the wall going down the hall. There was a light socket there, too. It's a wonder he didn't get electrocuted. But anyway, there was a rug covering it, and you couldn't tell he was doing that. And then when we took the rug up, you could tell it was like black where he had been peeing on it. So I sanded it off and tried to sand it down until it was gone, but it's in the wood. So I researched how do you replace those sections of wood, and that was my excuse to get a table saw, because the last one, you got to cut the tongue and groove, the grooves off of one side, and you put it down that way. And I don't have anything that would cut it. I've got a miter saw, but it wouldn't make long cuts like that. So I ordered the wood. The wood's going to be here Wednesday. In the meantime, I did YouTube study to find out how people get that out. And they said you can get that out with 3% hydrogen peroxide or this other kind of oleic acid, which isn't really acid. You can put your hands in it, and it doesn't burn you or anything like that. But it does bleach the wood. And it leaves the natural color of the wood, but it bleaches the wood. And I saw one woman, she had a really long video, and she did a really good job. And you couldn't tell it before and after. So I'm doing the same thing while I'm waiting for the wood to get here. Because when that wood gets here, if I don't use it for this, then I'll use it for the sun deck where the door goes that goes outside. Which I remember one time when it was snowing a lot, the kids were in and out, in and out, in and out in the snow constantly. And that board's back there where that door is curled, the hardwood floor, the board's curled. So those boards have to be replaced. But the one I'm working on now is, if this works, I won't use the wood for that. I'll use the wood for the back door.
Okay, so I just learned a little trick. And that's on, what is that, like 3/4 inch thick oak hardwood?
Yeah, 2 1/4 inches wide by 3/4 inch thick red oak hardwood.
Okay. Oleic acid or hydrogen peroxide. I would imagine what it's doing is going down, soaking into the wood after you sanded it, right?
So the way that woman did it, she cleaned it with the hydrogen peroxide, and then she used Scotch-Brite, and then let it dry, and it made it lighter. And then she used Scotch-Brite, and she cleaned it again and let it dry. Each time while it's wet, you can't tell it's doing anything. But once it dries, once you dry it out, like with a fan, well, you can tell it's a big difference. But then you get it wet with hydrogen peroxide again to bleach it a little bit further. And it's just a process of getting it to where you want it to be. And that O-X-A-L-I-C, acid. I ordered a couple of bags of it from Amazon. It's supposed to be here Saturday. So if the hydrogen peroxide by itself won't do it, then the oleic acid will probably do it, right? Or if neither one of them do it by Wednesday, I just put new floorboards down.
So it's taking the black stain out of the wood. I would imagine what it's doing is changing the pH of the wood and killing off the bacteria that's creating the black stain. That's smooth. Okay, I have to remember that. I bet it does have to soak a while.
It does. You could tell because everybody that did it on YouTube did it over a period of days. And the longer they did it, the lighter it got. And at some point, it's light enough, and you say, okay, that's done. Or you can just keep on going. And then when you're done, you go back with the same stain that's on the floor before, because you have that wood comes stained. A lot of it does already. So you go back and stain it, and you use ever how many layers of stain you want to get it to match your floor, because your floor changes over time. So you got to get that just right, too. And then after that dries, all the staining is done, then you put that clear polyurethane on top of it, and you put as many coats on that as you need to make that blend in with the rest of the floor. And by the time they got to the end of what they were doing, you could not tell there was ever a black stain there at all. It totally gone.
You let me know. Oh my goodness. Do you remember the old projection TV the cabinet projection TVs? Somebody had one out there sitting on the side of the road. I hadn't seen one of those things in years. Well, listen, let me know how that turns out, because I got pets now. But I really shouldn't have a problem. In my house, we've got that bamboo flooring. That stuff is tough, man.
I saw other people that had, like, engineered something flooring is what they called it, that were doing the same thing. And then I saw the hardwood, the oak hardwood. But I didn't see bamboo. I'm not familiar with that. And that projection TV, we had one of those in our bedroom up until about 5 years ago. The thing was about 20 years old. Still worked fine. Worked great. I've got a 60-inch over in the airplane room that I'm thinking about putting on Facebook offer up or whatever one of those things is. It's really big. It's not a flat screen. It's like it's 60 inch wide, but it's probably 1.5 feet deep. It's not like the new ones that are 60 inches wide. And I'm thinking it's going to take two men to get that thing out of there. And I just want to get it out of there so I can put shelves in there to put my stuff on. It's just in the way. Nobody ever watches it.
Still function?
Yeah, I made a video of it with when I was going to put it on there, Facebook Marketplace. I was going because if you put it on Facebook Marketplace and you price it to sell, if you put it on there for nothing, nobody's interested. But if you put it on there for like $50 or $100, it'll be gone by noon. You put it on there that morning, by noon, somebody will have come out there with a truck and capable hands, and they will remove it.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, go make you some money. I was going to say, one of these, well, no, you're going to be right there, and you're not going to put up a shop. I'm thinking about getting myself something that's a little bigger screen and putting it down in my man cave and taking that little 32-inch and putting it up in another area. So, anyhow, shuffling stuff around. Well, I will let you get back to your flooring there, Bubba, and I will see you around 3 o'clock. So, get her done, son. 73, scan 4, VWA, clear.
All right, well, be careful out there with all that driving around. Catch you later. KM4 VWA, W4 DJW, clear.